Alan Hynek at Northwestern University.
Oh, yes, sir. How are you, sir?
Fine. I take that you got my letter.
Yes, sir. Here it is.
Good. All right. Well, how's the deal, honey?
Negative.
Negative, huh?
Didn't see a thing. We've had 2 nights of weather down here.
Oh, well. You got the forms then, too, did you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because I was not like I had a form that you've already filled out. Yeah, sure, I've got that here. I wanted to just take a little of your time and see how, whether you can add anything, corroborate points on Mr. Sullivan's sighting.
All right.
So as I understand it, you were some distance behind him, would have viewed the object from somewhat greater distance.
I was, I imagine, straight distance between the two points would be about 3 miles. I was north of him.
You were north of him? And,
north of him.
North of him. Uh-huh. Do you think that getting out there, as Sullivan said he was going to do, and taking sightings with compass bearings, you might get some sort of a fix on the object to sort of track down how far away it was?
Oh, yes, sir, I think so. I did make a mental note at the time exactly where I was at. I was on a main thoroughfare, and had a clear view of the mountains facing towards the west. It passed on the left side of my windshield, first on the windshield to the right side, where I lost it behind the trees that was coming up with myself.
Now, I think maybe the best way to go about this is, before I ask any specific questions, is if you wouldn't mind giving me just a short narrative, what did you see first and how did it happen and all that. I have your form here, this form 164 in front of me. Wait, there's no Sullivan. Let me get yours. Let me start out by asking if you could in some magic way put some relatively familiar thing up in the sky, what thing would you choose that would most nearly simulate this?
I don't know. The shape and the color is something that I've never seen in the before. It was a dull white submarine.
A dull white submarine, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that shape.
Yeah.
Well,
that's okay.
The Nautilus without a pine tar fur on its shell.
Yeah.
It was all white, but it didn't shine. It was a reflective white.
Yeah, I see. And it was, of course, bright daylight, I understand.
Oh, yes, sir. It was 9 o'clock in the morning, and the sun was through my back.
Mm-hmm. So probably the light that you saw from it was reflected light, probably.
Yes.
Shining suddenly.
I mean, it wasn't a light. It was a ferris. It was against dark hot rows of pine trees.
Oh, I see. It wasn't against the sky, then.
Oh, no, sir. It was down below the skyline. It was below the top of the mountains. Our mountains here range, we set at 7,300 feet. And they go up to about almost 11,000. So it was between 7,300 feet and 11,000 feet. Where it was solar winds against the dark pine trees.
Okay, well, that's important to show that that puts an upper limit, doesn't it, the distance from it?
Uh-huh. It was about halfway up the mountain.
Mm-hmm. Now, I understand this is a restricted area, of course, and planes are not allowed to fly.
Now, I'm not quite sure whether they are anymore or not. We don't see many up here. SAC goes over every morning, but we don't see too many planes around these areas unless they're looking for lost hunters or fires or something.
Well, now, when I came up from Albuquerque, I came up on the Carco hospital plane. And that flew quite low over the place. How did this, the appearance of this differ from the Carco plane?
First of all, the color.
Well, I'm not saying that you were to, you could have mistaken us for that, but I want to get clearly in mind just how different it was.
Well, other than the shape and the color, there was no sound. And It was a warm morning. I had the window rolled out in the patrol car. And 9 o'clock, there was no traffic on the street except another police officer and myself who was driving towards me. And we were, I was a couple, 3 miles from the object.
Now, have we established pretty well that it was the same object that the
satellite saw? Yeah, I talked to Mr. Sullivan quite extensively on it. And I said, let him talk first before I opened my mouth. He told me where it was heading, and I must have picked it up right after he lost it.
Oh, after he lost it.
Because he was south of me. And he just came from the south and north. Oh, I put that thing on the way of my hand. The site that he was going into is located approximately 3 miles south, cross country. And he spotted down there first as it was heading north, and then I picked it up. Yeah.
Did you happen to look at your watch at the time, or?
Oh, it was 9 o'clock. I looked at my watch.
Good. Well, listen, I always have to check these points.
Well, as a matter of fact, I talked to the other officer and I said, Richard, did you see that? No, I didn't. There's no way.
Well, he was in the car with you?
No, he was in the car coming towards me.
Oh, I see.
He had the military, coming towards each other on the street.
Well, yeah, he was looking the other way.
At headquarters, when they heard the accident, of course, over the radio, and they told me what time it was.
So I don't think there was any doubt that it was the same object.
No, with his description of mine, when I talked to him, and we're sure it's the same object, it's in the same location. He has the impression that it's over behind the mountains up there.
Yeah.
But when I lost it behind the tree, it's still flying on the flight.
I'm looking at the two pictures that both you gave you. There's not much difference. Yours is more, a little more cigar-like, and this is more of a hamburger, you might say.
Well, I couldn't get a detailed deal on the back of it. What kind of sheet the back would have. It didn't have a red or anything on that affair, as it actually. It just kind of dwindled off to nothing. Hazy.
Yeah, I see.
But the front was very clear. And the top and the bottom were very distinct. And towards the end of it, it was there was no definite end to it. It just kind of blurred off.
Now,
it wasn't due to the cracked windshield or anything like that, because it was disappearing all the way across the shield.
Yeah. How would you describe its angular rate? How long did it take to traverse, say, 45 degrees of your field of vision?
Oh, I don't know. Just a matter of seconds. It was no zooming in a situation such as this, no massive amount of speed. It needs to be real, the same amount of speed was maintained throughout what I saw.
Oh, same rate.
Yes, and I couldn't judge it, and I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I think, Mitchie, what you were starting to do is 30 seconds in.
I don't think it was that long. I get to think about it. 36 is quite a period of time.
Yeah, 36 is quite a period of time.
And the more I think about it, I'm trying to look back now, and I put the clock in the face as I saw it, and I was going somewhere around 5 seconds for a longer period. It was quite a period of time. You're looking at it going away from this place.
Yeah, so it was really pushing along.
Yes, I estimated over 100 miles an hour. Due to the distance that I was from it and the amount of ground it covered.
Yeah, now you were, well, since you had a background there of trees, and you know how far the trees were, how far would you say the object was from you at its closest?
I don't think it changed this far in distance from me from the time I first spotted until I lost it. Because
it was going at right angles to you.
I was heading directly west towards the mountains, and it came up on my left and went to my right, and the field there is not very great as far as, probably 2 or 3 miles I was from it, and it didn't change shape or size or anything, I guess the whole path went from the field.
That's suppose since this has happened, you've asked your spouse, asked yourself many times, just what might it have been? What, I mean, one either has to say it's something unknown to man, so to speak, or it's a man-made craft. What are your feelings after you saw it? Did you feel that you had to observe something very strange, or what?
I don't think anything could pick it up, really. It was that close to the ground, and I don't know how far out from the mountain, looking from west to east, I don't know how far it was from the mountain, but it appeared less than 500 feet from straight down from the ivy to the ground. And I know here, and no seagulls, and I know any other hummingbirds. We don't have anything like that up here.
No, we wouldn't have that there, and undoubtedly one would have seen wing motion.
Yeah. But this is a white object. It was going along at normal flight, and no increase in frequency or elevation. Well, actually, don't know.
Yeah.
And the only reason I lost it for the flight is between me and the object was this bunch of trees on our main drag. The tree was about half a block from me. So that's why I lost it. In other words, you just cut across the front of the street something.
Yeah. It never passed in front of any other object, did it?
No, there's nothing else
in front of it. Yeah, nothing else to pass in front of it.
That time of morning, all our traffic is over. We have a big rush of traffic in 5 minutes late, until about 10 after.
Yeah.
And then everything just dwindled down to nothing. There's nothing to people except the living and approaching at that time of morning.
Yeah. That's a strange one. This is a strange one. Well, it certainly corroborates Mr. Sullivan's story. And,
after this happened, I had a friend of mine from Albuquerque come up here, who's the lieutenant on the police department down here. And I was talking to him about this, you know, what I'd seen. He said that quite a while back, he had seen the same thing in a canyon just south of here. And he and his 13-year-old daughter, 16-year-old son, had the same thought for approximately a minute or so. Now, the canyon we're referring to is directly south of here, in Okeechobee Canyon. And we used to camp on it quite often. My family did, and they found it in a parallel with it on dirt roads for quite a week. He said about a mile.
Well,
this was the same as mine, so I ended up making maybe the two of us being linked in this world.
What is his name, you say?
Kenneth Haynes.
I wonder if he would be, how long ago did this happen?
Oh, he told me at the time it was, but I don't think it's been quite a long time. Of course, draw conclusions, but I don't think it's been much of a different vibe for conclusions that are out there at the time. I think it's inevitable.
Yeah, well.
Of course, his daughter saw it on him. What kind of earthquake is that, you know?
Yeah, this is a sort of when there's more witnesses, more than one witness, I like to follow that down. And do you ever see him anymore? Or?
Oh, yes, we go down there about once a month or so. You can write him in charge of the police department. Albuquerque, if you mind, I'm sure he'd help you.
All right, well, I'll do that. Now, see, here it's Kenneth Haynes.
H-A-I-N-S.
He's in the police department.
Second to Harris, Northwest.
Second at Harris?
T. Harris, T-I-G-G-R-E-S.
I'm sorry, is it a street name you gave?
Yes.
Second? Oh, yeah. Well, it's the city.
Second and T. Harris.
Oh, second and
T. Harris. Yeah, T. Harris.
That's a funny name. You said it's got a T with a period in Harris?
No, no.
T-I-J-E-O, that sort of thing. I get you.
Yeah, Gringo.
Yeah, I could say so. Gringo is right. All right, now I have it.
Let's get to the department here. Let's get back to the mine.
Good, I'll
I'm sure you'll help you out, because we did have a long discussion on the mine thing up here, but it was basically
Well, we have to follow these things up because something is going on, certainly.
We believe so. There's more than, of course, we're just these people up here, and there's bound to be something going on up here.
Well, well, also, if anything else comes up, feel free to get in touch with me. And if it's something urgent, don't hesitate to call Collect.
All right.
Johnson will crack on this problem.
I hope so. Well, I talked to Mr. Sullivan. It was yesterday on the town trying to find him in the week run.
As cases as good as this one, with two very reliable witnesses, we should squeeze everything we can out of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been through it once, not four, detention now that I used to do. This has kept my eye, you know. I think everybody has a spot on their eye once in a while, and it's considered something, you know, that works to cross.
Sure.
But I had these, but they are black.
Yes, they're black, and
on one side, they don't go right across your eye. You can't keep it long.
No, that's correct. You can't focus on them.
And I had a clear view of this for quite a good time.
Well, good, Dennis. You and Mr. Sullivan will continue to get together and get the measures of bearings. So what I asked him for, and I would certainly appreciate your cooperation, is an ordinary road map or topo map with the lines of sight at the beginning and end of each sighting drawn, and I probably will be able to make a very good judgment from that then.
All right, fine. We should do it.
Good enough. Well, thank you.
Thank you for going, sir.
Right on.